Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting Agatha, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. I'd like to welcome everyone to the show tonight. It is 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, and it is April 9th, 2016. It's a pleasure to have everyone with us this evening, and especially I'd like to give a warm welcome to the leader of this very ancient teaching, and that is Sri Kadavji, who's the Mahaji, the 973rd living Srosha Master. Sri Kadavji, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
And I'm doing well, thanks very much. And, you know, we will talk a little bit about some of the basic fundamentals and some of the other aspects of the teaching for those people who haven't listened in before. Of course, some of you have been with us for many of the shows and, of course, have listened to some of the archives because we do have hundreds of those as well. Now, for this evening, what I'd like to begin with is the history of this teaching and how did it come about? And I wondered if you wouldn't mind starting off at that place, Sri Kadavji.
Thank you very much. The history is a good start. It's paradoxical, basically, because the teaching is sometimes not public, but that means that if it's not public, then there is a history. Well, there is history, but the teaching just doesn't exist in the public eye, so to speak. And therefore, that means the teaching is, they call it cyclical or cyclical. You can pronounce it either way. And that means it goes and it comes, basically. And that means that it can be public for a long time or a short period of time. For instance, it was public for only 6 years between 1965 and 1971, and then went non-public. So it varies quite a bit. And we've been public since 1988, so that's about, 24 years, something like that. Okay.
Since 1988,
28 years.
28 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's been quite a while. I didn't realize it had been that long. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so the history, as I said, is somewhat of a paradox, and that means that as long as there is history, and I call it preservation time, when there's manifestation or there's time and space, then the teaching can be public or non-public. And Afra says it's been public since 1988, and we've been teaching it since that time. Now, the fundamentals are we usually start out with the definition of the ancient science of Sahaji. And we want to focus on the term Sahaji, which means the movement of the essence of man on the inner planes, on the inside of themselves. All right, so in other words, most people don't quite understand that in terms of they've lived a physical life and they know what the physical plane is about, and all the sciences and teachings are talking about pretty much that's the only reality, that you have physical life. Although sometimes the religions talk about spiritual life, they really don't have a specific place in mind. They'll call it heaven, but where is it? They'll say it's up in the air or in the sky, which is not altogether untrue. But in terms of where it is specifically, that's up to the high path or the most direct path that we call Agatha, the ancient science of Sahaji. That means that Agatha will specifically target and have people learn how to get to the heavenly worlds, the true heavenly worlds above the fifth dimension. That means you have four lower dimensions that need to be negotiated through to get to the true God worlds. So you see, when people pass away, they don't automatically just go to heaven like the religions would lead one to believe. But it really isn't their domain anymore, because they had lost the idea, and they're mostly involved with financial issues and the physical life and the rules and the commandments of physical life to behave yourself, which is not a bad thing. Social behavior is important, but in terms of spiritual liberation, I rather doubt it. To be quite frank with you, they don't. They go to the astral plane when people pass away. because they don't really, as I said, they don't really know where they're going. And that's kind of a shame. And they would deny that. And I understand they would be up in arms with what I'm saying, but that's the idea in terms of Akasha, is only for the one in 100, the ready soul, the teaching of Akasha is for that particular individual that has the eyes to see and the ears to hear and can decipher the fact that we're not really condemning religion, we're just saying they don't have the capability of getting through spiritual liberation. Would they deny that? Absolutely. But they can't prove it, and it's not our job to get into an argument with them. Quite the contrary, I respect all teachings and really promote all the positive aspects. What I don't promote are negative aspects. I mean, I like the fact that nowadays, especially in the Iron Age, in the Earth region, they have people at the podiums using profanity and the F-bomb. At least the religions don't do that. See, I mean, they at least what they keep their language clean at the podium. And I respect that a great deal. At least that's probably the last bastion, and ourselves as well, that we don't use profanity. I mean, gosh, the stand-up comics are impossible nowadays. It's so filthy and really awful. But having said that, the basic fundamentals that we want to teach in action, I alluded to a minute ago about the essence of man being the soul, that we call the soul, which is the aspect of the twin aspects of the sound and light within us. So actually the light and sound path are really the light and sound path, where one can hear a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear within one, and that's the essence as soul, right? So when we hear the sound current, we're actually hearing the light, and if we see the light, we're actually seeing the sound. So the twin aspects of light and sound is called spirit, or what we call in Akasha the Srosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A. So the Srosha is a derivative word for the word spirit, which is a derivative of the word spiral. And if you see the logo of Akasha, which is the Srosha symbol, it looks like the top of a spiral. So it's rather unique, and it's a very enigmatic symbol, the logo, because it actually has the four lower planes within the different letter areas, the S-R-A-O-S-H-A, and then the O shows the fifth plane, the plane of liberation. So that logo is really the highest mandala for focusing one's attention in the state of contemplation, which is not a mandate, but we highly recommend that people do a daily contemplation. It looks like a meditation. In fact, Buddha was doing contemplation in all the statues that he is seen depicted in contemplation, or they say meditation, because meditation is just a misinterpretation of contemplation. So we recommend to do a daily 30 minutes per day, 30 minutes exactly, or a minimum 30 minutes. If people do the overage past 30 minutes, that's fine, but at least doing a minimum of 30 minutes, because that gives the opportunity to gain spiritual liberation. Can people get it immediately? Sometimes that's possible, and sometimes it might take a while. It depends on the individual. So it is an individual path, and it does work in terms of the people that are on the path have gained the three major goals. And Leslie, maybe you'd like to talk about what the three major goals and take us to what is known as a huge chant, which is a little contemplation. If you'd like to do that, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course, I'd be happy to. The three goals in Akasha are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. Self-realization is the first goal that we're trying to reach, and that we achieve on the fifth plane, what's also called the Sat Lok. And this is the first plane of the higher, what we call the higher worlds of Srosha, the pure positive God plane. So there's no negativity in the higher planes. In the lower planes, below the soul plane, there are the law of duality, the worlds of duality. So you have hot and cold, positive and negative. Everything has its opposite, but not so in the higher planes. In the higher planes, it's pure positive spirit. So that's why that first goal of reaching self-realization is so important, because we've left that duality, that net negativity behind us. And what happens when we establish ourselves here as soul, we gain a tremendous realization of actually who we are as soul and how we connect with the universe. And we also gain a huge level of awareness with that, and confidence comes with that as well, so that we're no longer questioning at this point. We're very confident of who we are as soul, and we know we're on the correct path, although we may know that much earlier before self-realization. So it's an important goal to reach, self-realization. And then God realization comes when we reach the eighth plane, the eighth plane is also called the Hukkot Lok. And with the Hukkot Lok, that is the plane where we realize our relationship to God. So it's God realization in connection to spirit. So our awareness has grown even further at this point. We're starting to understand our relationship with, even deeper within the universe. Then when we get to the 10th plane, the plane of spiritual mastery, that's the final goal, not the final level of unfoldment, because that's a continuous process and can go on forever, should go on forever. But with spiritual mastery, we are a master on all levels, actually. And it's a very important level, because it's at that point we're starting to understand what we're going to do within the universe, because whether we stay on the physical level, which is a decision, or go on to the inner level, and we're going to be working within the universe and working, we can be leaders of satsangs on the inner as well as the outer, because prior to that, we might have been leading satsang classes or teaching akita in some way or another. But at the spiritual mastery level, we have a choice of what we want to do on the inner planes. So that's the 10th plane. As I said, we continue to spiritually unfold. It's a wonderful process because of that, because every day is exciting. Something new is always happening. We're always getting some new realization, and it's very important. Now, one of the ways we continue to get the realization, the most important thing that we need to do on the path is to do our inner spiritual work, which is a contemplative technique that we ask everyone to do for 30 minutes a day. Now, as Sri Kadavchi has mentioned in the past, this is not mandated, but it is strongly recommended, because if one wants to spiritually unfold, get further in their spiritual journey, then they really do need to do this contemplative technique. And what happens with the contemplation is that we're letting ourselves be used as a vessel for spirit. So spirit is flowing through us. It's giving us complete protection. It's you know, growing our awareness and giving us balance. And it's a protection that lasts for 24 hours when we do a 30-minute contemplation. So it's a scientific formula for 30 minutes that we do daily until the next day. We're covered, so to speak, for 24 hours. And that's why we do recommend that someone does it on a daily basis. If you're not doing it on a daily basis, then what happens is, you know, it allows for negativity to come in and start attacking in little, sometimes subtle ways. Sometimes it can be overt ways, and we can just be a little bit more susceptible to that. So that's why we really strongly recommend that people do their spiritual exercises. So what happens in the spiritual exercise, we're sitting, it looks as if we're meditating, but it's actually a contemplative technique, which is really a more active form of inner work. We close our eyes, we take a few deep breaths, and then we're either going to chant our mantra, which we get with our initiation levels, or we can chant the word Hu, which is a very high vibrational word that also means God. And Hu really has such a strong positive vibration to it that it can pretty much knock it, not pretty much, but it can completely knock out any kind of negativity in the arena, whether that's on the inner or the outer. So it's very important to remember the use of Hu, which we can use on the inner if we're in a situation someplace, whether it's on the physical or the inner, we can use it and it will dissipate any kind of negativity that's in the area. So I'm going to do a brief version of this contemplative technique. Now, I just want to mention, when you're doing the longer version, the 30-minute version at home, there's different experiences that you might have. So you might have an out-of-body experience. As soon as you close your eyes, you're actually having a Sahaji experience, but it might be go more vivid than that, to where you're actually out of the body and traveling on the inner. You can travel and visit one of the spiritual masters on the inner planes and be part of a sasing. There's many different experiences that you can have. You might hear the sound current. Most likely you will hear the sound current, because it usually comes in pretty strongly when you're chanting the hue. And as Srikadavji mentioned earlier, that can be heard as a high-pitched electrical sound. It can also be heard as a different sounds on different planes, because each plane has its own sound that's connected with that plane. So, for instance, on the physical plane, thunder is actually the sound of spirit. But on the soul plane, the sound of spirit is a single note of a flute. So there are musical instruments that parallel with each of the planes as well. So you might see the light as well, which is, as Srikadavji said, the Srosha is seen as light and heard as sound. So in addition to hearing the sound current, you might see a bright white light, a yellow light, or you might see a blue light, which is the inner light of the master. And that's actually Srikadavji on the inner, standing by, waiting there if you have need of him for guidance. And he does not interfere, but he's always there with you, to be ready at hand for any guidance that you might need. So, okay, I'm going to go through the brief exercise. If we close our eyes, you can follow along if you like. Put our attention on either the Tisratil, which is the third eye, or on the crown chakra, which is that spot right on top of the head, often referred to as a soft spot where babies come into the body, where the soul babies come into the body. Keep our eyes closed, take a couple of deep breaths, relax, and then what we're going to do is just keep our attention gently on either the Tisratil or the crown chakra, and we're going to chant the hue, and it sounds like this. Which means may the blessings be. Srikadashi, did you want to add something about the spiritual exercises or anything at all that I was speaking about?
Yes, thank you for taking us through the Q chant, which is really the universal mantra. Anybody can use the hue. It is a clearing, as you say, of negativity and balancing one to gain focus of their sound current. Any mantra that people use is a repetitive word that helps attune to the essence of soul. Now, a lot of people don't understand what mantra chanting is for, but that means it's a repetitive cycle of the soul in motion, makes one cycle, which would be a frequency. In terms of like electricity, it makes one cycle. They call it a hertz in electronics. That's because it's named after Dr. Hertz and historically. Right, so that's a frequency of a cycling of spirit. And in that process, it makes a sound of the motion. That's why you hear the sound in motion. Now, the soul being in motion, people say, well, can't it be stopped and be still? Well, yes, it can, but that's the God realization experience. When one goes to their center, and completely in the center, they'll have the God realization experience, and that's called the glimpse of the divine. Now, Akita, we're the only ones that really exclaim that. I haven't heard anybody say it before, and they do, we're the origin of that particular understanding. So the idea to be able to experience stillness is the God realization experience in the true stillness. I mean, people can claim they have stillness. There's stillness and stillness. So it sounds like a Zen koan, right? So this idea of the experience, and we call Akita the experiential path, because we don't, not only do we give a lot of blather and talk about things, but we also teach people to have the experience of the sound current, and we put a lot of attention on it. Other paths don't do that very much. You'll find that there are other teachers that are spin-offs from Akita, and because Akita is a source, they may talk about light and sound, but they don't really put much attention on it. They start getting into concepts and ideas and mostly behavioral patterns and things of this nature and do's and don'ts and this sort of thing. It's like the Dalai Lama. I really respect him a great deal, but he's mostly involved with politics, whereas Akita separates it. It's sort of a disestablishmentarianist teaching where it separates the idea of, they call it church and state, but we say spirituality and politics. All right, so we don't really get involved with diet or money and this sort of thing on the spiritual path. But what we talk about, the idea is, it's not a bad idea to have money or to be healthy. But in terms of spiritual liberation, I'm a raw vegan myself, and so is Leslie. At the same time, we were spiritual masters long before we were raw vegan, just to make a definitive statement with that. So people really get into this food thing, helping them spiritually. I'm saying, well, okay, it's good for the body, but since spirit is separate from all that, it has nothing, absolutely, adamantine, have anything to do with the spiritual liberation, nothing. So we don't really mandate any sort of diet behavior, because there are some religions of the East that mandate people to be vegetarian. That's not an issue with Akita. So people can understand. And also the money thing. Everything we do is free. We don't demand any diets. We only recommend daily contemplation. And we only say that is because we're in an iron age presently. It's difficult. We've had people drop the path because my opinion is they don't do their daily practice, and they safely admit that they haven't. And then, as Leslie said earlier, the attacks of negativity come in if you're not doing the daily practice, because the 30 minutes will provide 24 hours of harmony in the scrotia, that you can get through the day without as much trouble by not doing it, let's put it that way. And then the idea of being pulled away from the teaching is just as simple as getting onto it sometimes. You see what I mean? And sometimes it's difficult getting back there. But all these things are really the idea of the ready soul. And the ready soul comes to the path, they step onto the path, and then they learn how, over a course of a period of time, to gain the three goals we were talking about previously, which is self-realization, God-realization, and Sarosha mastery. Those are the three major goals that one can achieve in this particular lifetime. And then we also give a guarantee in Akita. You like that? It's a good housekeeping seal of approval, right, Leslie? And then in terms of the guarantee, it's called the Atratus, which means within this lifetime or the next one, you can gain spiritual mastery if you stay with the path, you see. So it's one of these, it's a guarantee that one can gain that. Now, we have about 20 masters on the path, something like that, out of about 3,000 people. Other paths, I would say, take a look at other paths, check things out. You'll find that very few have any other master other than their leader. They talk about it sometimes, but they don't really do that because they're in fear of their position, that type of thing. It's like a king in the history of kings and what have you, the only king business, okay? And we don't consider it that at all. We just consider it the living Sarosha master of the time and the longest unbroken line of masters in history as the first representative of the Aksha, what we call God in Akita. That's all it is. It carries a lot of power. It's a titular level. It's a title level. At the same time, he carries this consciousness that's within all people. He sees through all eyes, and everybody sees through his eyes. Everything is known but individual. See, it's sort of like the problem with the atheists, as I say, they have their state of consciousness. They make declarations that there's no God, and it's annihilated, and we're nothing, and there isn't anything. And then I often say to them, well, who said that? And they say, well, I said it. I said, well, what is the I? It's the consciousness, correct? So I say, okay, you're pretty much stuck in your consciousness, correct? And they will agree to that. But then I say, that's all right, because if you can liberate the consciousness on the path of Akasha and gain God realization, then you'll realize the fact that there is such a thing as God in terms of your experience. Then it's not alien to you. You're not divorced from it, so to speak. There is a marriage with God in a co-workership that you work with and not against it, that type of thing. And therefore, that becomes a realization for an atheist who may be a ready soul, and then you unmask the last little vestige of the fact that they had to realize that God was a power and a consciousness and not a man sitting on the throne as depicted in religions. Or Poseidon with a trident. Yes, that's a pretty good one, isn't it, Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Right. So what's our timing like? I can't quite see it.
Well, we've got about a little over 4 minutes left. Maybe I should mention a couple of things about that everything we do on the path is at no charge. So if anyone is interested in getting more information, you can certainly go to our website, and there are books that you can download for free. There are audios of Srikadasi that you can listen to. And if you have been listening for a while, or whether or not you have been listening for a while, if you think that you're ready to take the step to apply for membership, you can certainly do that. As I said, there's no charge. It just means filling out an application so we can accept you as a member. And that's all there is to it. And we don't charge for any seminars or talks that we give. There will be a series of talks coming up soon in the Philadelphia area, and I will be announcing that in one of the upcoming shows. And I will let you know where that's going to be. And there are satsangs happening in different parts of the world. We are an international group, so there are members all over the world. I think we have about 3,000 members now, Srikadasi.
Yeah, something like that. It grows daily. The website has really been beneficial. We made it convenient to be able to apply to the website and on the website. So we've made it convenient for people. And plus, we said that it's free of charge. So there's no financial commitment, which people really appreciate, because some of the third world countries can't afford much, barely to eat. So we say, well, if they're ready souls, just because they don't have money doesn't mean they can't have spirit. See, so that's been an argument for a long time, and the justification of other teachings putting a price tag on everything. But then if people realize the high levels, indirect trade, the American tribes had that at one time where they weren't using money, that's the highest economic level. So we're actually in concert with that idea. And people really appreciate it a great deal, and that's why people are coming in everywhere because there's no barrier with that, no financial barrier. So there's no undertow. Nobody can think, well, we're trying to make millions of dollars on the whole thing. Quite the contrary, we don't. And so there's no even a thought of that, Leslie, which I really appreciate. You can't even think about it because it isn't. You know, so there's no justification or argument to the fact that justifying why people charge money, and all the teachings do that. All the spiritual teachings have to justify the money thing. So we don't have the money thing, so to speak.
And I think that's helpful, because not everybody has the wherewithal to pursue anything other than just trying to take care of food, shelter, and clothing. Sometimes it's just a stretch for people to do that, and thus they can have spiritual unfoldment at no cost. The only thing they need to do, hopefully, that they will do, is to do the spiritual contemplation. So with that, I wanted to thank everyone for being with us this evening. It's our pleasure to be able to host this show on a weekly basis, and you're free to look at the archives. As I said earlier in the show, there are hundreds of archives that you can listen to. We've been doing the show for several years now, and I do want to especially thank Srikadasi for being here with us this evening. And Srikadasi, you've got about 35 seconds left, so I wanted to give you the opportunity to end the show, to close the show for the evening.
All right, for those who can't see me, the Master raises his right hand in the spiritual blessing. It's called I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka and Bashad.